Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I am your host, Dominic Salvia. Crudy's still on vacation, but we are rolling into the happier, happy hour today with our fine guest, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, sticking around for the happy hour. Maggie, thank you for doing so, and let's make it happy. Pretty heavy conversation on the abortion issue. Thank you for the clarity.
Yep.
Folks, very important. Stay on that topic. It will continue to drive politics in this country until we get it right. I know we have some callers waiting on that at 844-967-2789. But this is a new hour. It's a new day. I want to get to at least one of the main headlines here. I saw this one from last night, the Washington Post reporting, New York prosecutors offer Trump a chance to testify before the grand jury. I mean, a chance to testify. Hey, congratulations.
Right.
Come down to half court.
You may have won $1 million.
You can take a shot at the half court and win a car.
Right, or you may be facing felony charges that have a maximum penalty of up to 4 years in New York State prison. Sing Sing, here he comes.
I mean, what a grand opportunity for the former president. I know he's been out there claiming his innocence. I'm sure he'll run to the grand jury to
put his hand on a Bible, swear an oath, and
he loves all the parts of the Bible. He doesn't want to get into which ones. It's all very important
to
him.
He's like Palin in that way. She loves all of the books, all of the papers.
So finally, something happened. We got lots of different, you know, areas of Trump and illegalities, but this one now resurrected. Cy Vance retired. Alvin Bragg took over as Manhattan DA. Yep. A couple of the top prosecutors, they quit. They were mad that Alvin Bragg didn't jump on it immediately. Not clear how all that went down, but seemingly, Bragg got a couple of convictions on Trump corporations for fraud. They paid a big fine, and now they're continuing this one. The Stormy Daniels sex. No, it's not the sex.
Mm-mm.
It's the payoff. It's the crime involved in keeping her quiet and how it was booked,
Yep. How
it was distributed, and what it did to further other crimes, perhaps. Maggie Dawn, I was ecstatic. Finally, something maybe.
Something happening?
What's your sense?
So if it's all right, Dom, first, let's just be sure people understand the facts of the thing that occurred, right?
Okay.
So this is back during the presidential election. It's right at the very tail end of it. The Access Hollywood tape has broken, so that's already out there, okay? Trump had been working with the CEO of the National Enquirer to effectively catch and kill a story about another sex worker with whom he had an affair. So they caught and killed the story, which means the guy buys the exclusive rights to it and then never publishes the story. Along comes Stormy Daniels. She's trying to sell her story to the National Enquirer. National Enquirer calls up DJT. You got a problem here, man. And so what does DJT do? He calls his trusty friend, Michael Cohen.
The fixer.
The fixer. And I mean, if you've not heard this guy talk, he sounds like a fixer. If I had to hire a fixer, I'm like, I want Mike Cohen. He's my guy. Calls up Mike Cohen, and instead of doing a catch and kill, Mike Cohen writes Stormy Daniels a check from the Trump organization for $130,000.
If I recall, the reason that Mike Cohen did it, the transaction that way, was because Donald Trump never paid the dude from the magazine on the first catch and kill.
Right.
So he wasn't going to do a second one. So then he had to create some reason, some ruse to make her go away.
Right. So we've got the money from the Trump organization that goes to Stormy Daniels. There is an invoice that is created that says this is for legal services provided by Michael Cohen.
So the fixer creates a fraudulent
invoice.
Invoice. Submits it to the Trump organization. gets paid by
it. And eventually, Donald Trump, while sitting in the White House, writes Michael Cohen a check for the $130,000.
While in the White House.
While in the Oval Office, to be exactly specific. So the question becomes twofold. One is, did they create a false business record, which is a miss? It's actually a crime in New York, which I find, let's just pause here. Can we just say that that probably happens like every minute in New York State?
So they would put it towards, you know, legal. When you make your books and post your expense, you're going to put it as legal expenses because you're cutting it to Cohen. Because they don't have a line item for hush money, stripper, porn star payoff expense.
The generally accepted accounting principles don't permit that. Funny. And I did misspeak before. Michael Cohen wrote the check himself, right? It wasn't from the Trump org to Stormy.
Right.
It was
Trump
Michael
to Cohen, Cohen to Stormy.
Right. So there's the false business record. Then there's the part where this happened. Literally, the payment was made. In other words, it kept her quiet in the weeks before the election. So there's the false business record. But then there's the question of the election law violation, which is you got something of value to help your election and you didn't disclose it. So those are the two things that are going on here. And the rule for you to commit the election law violation is simply, did it benefit the candidacy? Because I've heard accounts that, well, if I'm Donald Trump's defense attorney, what I say is, oh, no. He wasn't trying to, like, get himself elected president. He was trying to keep Melania from kicking him out of Mar-a-Lago, right? Or the Trump Tower.
Right.
He's trying to keep the old wife happy. The law doesn't care whether you intended to benefit your candidacy or not. If it did, and it obviously, no one can argue that keeping an affair from becoming public during a campaign is to a campaign's benefit. It's an election law violation. Then the question, because so those are both effectively different misdemeanor bases. But then the question comes, did he then knowingly act and lie to cover up these lower level crimes? And that's where you get potentially into the fraud, and you have to lie and conceal it. The concealment all has to be intentional. And that gets a little, you know, that's why you got the fixer guy. So I think much of this case will depend on whether or not a jury gives a crap. Like, do they care? Right? And we can talk about whether or not criminally charging someone for falsifying a business record in New York State, where it probably happens all the time, makes sense. But to me, that's sort of the predicate crime that gets you to this potential felony charge.
Because
right?
that crime was done in conjunction or furtherance
right.
of another crime.
It's never the crime itself. It's always the cover up, right?
It's an enhancer, essentially.
Right. Well, that incorrect business record was the thing that they had to do to make the payoff work, which eventually led to Donald Trump paying him back.
Now, was this part of, because Alvin Bragg, of course, as mentioned before, he got a conviction for Weisselberg, the CFO of the Trump Organization, had two of the Trump Organization's found guilty.
So let's be careful about that, because that was a civil trial. Weisselberg has pled out on some crimes, right? But
It was not a criminal.
Correct.
Okay.
It was a civil charge.
But what
charge.
That did, Discovery allowed, you know, a review of the books. You know what I mean? So was that part of this? Is that where you confirmed, like, now we know this is exactly how this happened because we have access to the books?
Yeah, so they can subpoena anything during an investigatory process if you are acting in a district attorney's office or an attorney general's office. So they were going to be able to get there. The interesting, why is this news now?
Right.
Like, why does anybody
this
care?
This has been a long time.
Right.
I mean, hell,
everything's been going on for like 2 years.
The fixer who was involved in the very same crime that, you know, the guy that helped Donald Trump.
Yeah, has already been to prison and is
out. And released, right,
that's
already.
How long
so
ago
this
it
is not this is not new news.
Nope. But the reason that everybody is like really excited about this is because these sorts of prosecutions, the election law violation, the false business record, and then potentially the felony on top of it, the way that these grand jury investigations work is that by law in New York State, the district attorney must provide the target an opportunity to testify.
In front of the grand jury.
Correct. So effectively, it's like, yep, you get
like
to
before,
tell...
before indicting or
correct.
Charging.
You get to... before the grand jury is given the case to either bill or no bill.
Right.
Bill meaning, yes, this is a criminal indictment. Before they get the case, the target gets to testify, because if you have a reasonable explanation for all of the stuff...
totally reasonable. Melania would have killed me.
Correct. Of course, it's under oath, and anything that you could say can be used against you, and you don't have to testify. So here's where we are. The thing about these investigations is that no one is asked to testify until basically the investigation is closed, or you're the last thing that's going to happen, and then they're going to give it to the grand jury, and they expect to indict. So this means that probably in the next month or so, we're going to see criminal charges brought against Donald Trump. Wow. So this is historic, right? Donald Trump could always say, like, Nixon actually resigned and Bill Clinton was actually impeached, right? So I did it twice, big diff. Big diff. But this one he can't argue about. This is actually the first time in American history that either a sitting or former president will be charged with a crime. And I want to make this observation before I forget about it, because I think this is, there is some, I don't know, cosmic
karma?
Justice in the world, right? So we know that we've got Fannie Willis in Georgia investigating his
11,782
yeah, votes. Just
yep.
find the votes. Oh yes. Fox News vote flipping. Yeah. That's what he asked for in Georgia. I digress. Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, and Tish James, right? These are all black folks. These are all
right.
the prosecutors who hold elected offices prosecuting Donald Trump for being exactly who we all know Donald Trump to be. And that's one thing that I just like to step back and say. I advise everybody and clients and people that ask me, how do you pick a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all about the gut, right? At a certain level, it's all about the gut. Does this all sound like stuff that Donald Trump would do?
Right.
Right? Would he do that?
Probably,
yes.
Yes.
Would he incite a mob to try to overthrow the U.S. government to keep himself in power? Yes.
F&A,
yes,
absolutely.
He would.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. That is Maggie Dawn, our pal, our co-devil for the day. We're going to get to your calls as well. It's a glorious, glorious day. Perhaps justice, finally, finally, at least on one case. We got several more out. Let's get your take today. 844-967-2789. Going to the phones after we get back.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. We're going to get to the callers, but our pal Maggie Dawes, she says, we got some breaking news. Maggie, what's happening?
Ooh, 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 Dom, I'm so excited to share.
Please do.
I was just going to say, the only other big cheese that hasn't testified before this grand jury investigation, which is you always save your, like, money witnesses for the very end, right, is Michael Cohen, right? He's the guy that pled and as part of his plea agreement was like, yeah, Donald Trump told me to pay her off.
So I did it. It's true. I did
it. And then he paid me for it. And we did it because he was running for president. Like, that's what Michael Cohen is going to testify to. And it just broke in the New York Times that Michael Cohen is now scheduled to testify before the grand jury next week. This is it, folks. This is like, drum roll, please. It is the big finish. And, oh, by the way, if anybody was actually wondering if DJT is going to show up and testify, the answer to that is like, no.
Hells to the no.
If I ever get to see that guy under oath on any of this stuff, wow. Wow.
So my understanding from Cohen himself is that he's met with Alvin Bragg and New York.
Yes. He was cooperating.
District Attorney, right. Manhattan DA's. For like 15, 20 times. Because
oh,
he
yes.
met with Cy Vance many, many times. And yep. now he's met many times with Alvin Bragg. But never, apparently now, he has not testified to our understanding now in front of the grand jury.
In front of the grand jury on this particular investigation. So remember, there were two investigations that were going on basically cooperatively and simultaneously with the New York State AG's office and the district attorney's office in Manhattan.
These side-by-side kind
Correct.
Of things, yeah.
But for different crimes. One is the one that we're talking about right now, which is the hush money crime. And again, paying hush money itself isn't a crime.
Nope.
It's when you falsify the business record, and it's when you get, you know, an election benefit. And then when you lie and cover that whole thing up, that's the crime. And then the second investigation, also jointly and contemporaneously, was the inflating asset values for the purposes of getting insurance and financing and things
and
like that.
And lowering taxes, and depending on what situation
right,
you were in.
If you're getting taxed, it's worth nothing.
Yes, yes.
If you're trying to buy money,
it's billions of dollars. 844-967-2789. Michael Cohen, the fixer in the Stormy Daniels hush money payoff campaign finance violation business fraud case. Going to be testifying to the grand jury next week.
Yeah. Can I tell you a little funny about the whole, like, inflating of value thing?
Sure.
So there is this magic thing in accounting that you know about, Dom, and that I know about. It's called goodwill. And it's sort of the
catch-all.
Right. If you're valuing a business, and it's like you value all the hard assets and then all the intellectual property and all the stuff and their receivables, and the business is still worth more than all that crap combined. It's you just put it in the goodwill bucket, right?
That's right, yeah.
And like everybody that does business or knows anything about accounting is all nodding along with us. I just want you to recognize this beautiful irony, everyone, that when Donald Trump had to value up these businesses, right, to get financing, I guarantee you that goodwill bucket was huge, right? Because he can't get there on the hard assets, but his whole thing is like, it's my name. I put my name on all the stuff. The stuff is worth more.
And he literally said it himself, like, depending on how I feel, if I feel good that day, it's worth more. I mean,
right. So all of that is good. So I love the fact that Donald Trump's falsified, fraudulent paperwork that he used to get these big loans and stuff was because his name is worth so much, and thus the goodwill
that's
invaluable.
That's definitely part of it. But my understanding as well, I mean, he literally overstated,
oh, yes.
you know, square
Even on
footage.
The base value.
Yeah,
yes.
right,
yes.
right.
So made up square footage.
I mean, every possible way you could push an assessment or an evaluation, an appraisal,
yes.
he did.
Well, and here's the other thing, having dealt with property tax appraisals. I know, tangent. Listen, you property value people out there, you know that that's junk science. I'm just saying. You just make that crap up.
It's comparables, Maggie.
Yeah, yeah, just cherry pick those comps.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. Happy Friday. What do you got for us today?
Happy Friday, and hopefully my voice holds out.
That sounds good so far.
Were you yelling at your radio, Mark? I hope so.
No, I think I've had that 3 month respiratory virus.
Oh,
you know, and that's following my cancer surgery back in December, which went great. But I mean, it's just been pretty frustrating.
Yep.
But they took a little bit of my liver, and hopefully that's going to be under that. But it's frustrating for me to hear about the whole abortion issue. I yes. can remember back in the 80s trying to explain to some older colleagues about an ectopic pregnancy, because I had heard about that back in the 70s,
yeah.
back when I was in, like, high school, and I had to explain to them why in an ectopic pregnancy, the woman had no choice other than an abortion. That it's just very frustrating to hear the same nonsense going on now today. And the other point I'd like to make is what I've been making, that the whole Jim Troupas appointment, that all those people that appointed him and approved that, they're also in violation of the Constitution. They ignored the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, period. Jim Troupas was actively involved in the conspiracy to overturn the election, period. He's admitted to it. I mean, it's a fact. And the fact that they can't wrap their little brains around the fact that, you know, that these people don't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, and they need to be confronted every time they appear in public. Somebody should say, so you don't believe in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, Section 3. And
the grotesquerie of the whole charade with Jim Troupas' recent appointment to the Judicial Ethics Commission is doubled by the fact that they know that there is an open Supreme Court seat where there's an election just now weeks away, and you go ahead on a 4-3 vote and appoint this guy anyway. So it,
for a multi-year term.
Correct. It's a long term. I think it's like 6 or 8 years. I mean, it's an extended period of time. So not only is the timing disgusting, the 4-3 vote is disgusting, and there's this last thing too, right? Anybody else? Like, just find the other conservative guy that will do the same thing, but who isn't Jim Troupas, because you know they exist. It's just as if they really want to stick the thumb in your eye, isn't it?
Isn't the guy from Will available? Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to break. We'll come back with your calls, 844-967-2789. Happy Friday. Stick around.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Just let me know.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, 844-967-2789. I've got some callers. We'll get to you in a moment. Be patient. Evan will slightly screen you, and we'll get you on to air your grievances or share your opinions. Let us know why that Donald Trump still remains a viable Republican presidential candidate. In fact, leading in all the polls, he'll tell you. And now with this new seemingly imminent
criminal
indictment
charge, yeah,
from Alvin Bragg and Manhattan DA. Trump went on his Truthy Social recently and just you know, lambasted, you know, Horsey McHorseface and Alvin Bragg and the racists and all. You know how Trump does it. We're not going to read it because you can imagine.
Don't read that.
it's hard to read. I can't even read it.
Barely literate. It is. Folks, it barely. Is. At least Dan Kennedy can speak the king's English.
it's really kind of amazing how far we've fallen. I mean, this is a former president. This is now another president. He's a presidential candidate, and he's leading in the Republican polls. And this is how he communicates. These are his ideas. I keep reflecting on the fact that I was never the most engaged or civil or nice or, you know, empathetic. I try to do better as I get older and realize, well, how I want to live my life, right? But when I look at these kinds of situations, and I'm the one thinking, oh my God, that's asinine. Oh my God, where's the credibility? Oh my God, where's the character? I sound like my old man. I can't even believe that I'm the one now like looking at what? Ex-presidents, former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, lawyers, and you know, these folks, they're everybody's the same. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't think you put anybody on a pedestal. You treat everybody the same. Donald Trump should have been charged the very same day they charged Michael Cohen. This OLR, you know, rule at the Justice Department that they don't, you know, charge a sitting president is just a rule.
It's silly.
It's never been challenged. It's asinine. I know. What does it do? It encourages this kind of behavior. You can't tell me if you got some sort of case going on that they can't differentiate their normal job of governing from their private stuff, right? So that brings us to where we are today. And this Republican Party, this GOP, Maggie, Dawn, they are in disarray. What a disaster.
Well, and it seems that there's no one willing to stand up other than Mitt Romney, apparently. I mean, this is the
guy those that did no longer run, right?
Correct.
Right,
yeah. They have to leave, bow out, right? Liz Cheney can't win in a freaking primary. Did you ever think that, like, Darth Vader's daughter was going to have a problem in a Republican primary? Like, this is how far we've come. And let's just keep in mind, here's what Tucker Carlson has said about the president.
Oh, yes.
I've been waiting to get to this all day.
Yes, I know. Lots of paper over there, Maggie, because but good time to do it.
Oh, yeah. Legit. Of course, I read through about half of the 400 pages.
Wow.
Of the actual documents and deposition transcripts that support the summary judgment brief that everybody has been talking about in the Dominion Voter Systems case. Here is what Tucker Carlson really thinks about Donald Trump. I hate him passionately. What he's good at is destroying things. He's the undisputed world champion of that. He could easily destroy us if we play it wrong.
You played it wrong, Tucker.
Tucker Carlson, okay? More Tucker three days after that.
Yeah.
We're all pretending we've got a lot to show for Trump's 4 years because admitting to what a disaster it's been is too tough to digest. But come on, there really isn't an upside to Trump.
Let's put him in the White House again.
That's Tucker Carlson. So all of the conservatives out there, that's what Tucker Carlson really thinks about Donald Trump. And then just this small bit on the integrity level of Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
Because that was Tucker Carlson on January 4th and January 7th, respectively, in 2021.
So it was right around the insurrection. Right. Okay.
2 days before, right? Two days before and 1 day after. Same thing. On the integrity of Tucker Carlson, here's what he had to say on Tuesday. The protesters were angry. They believed the election that they had just voted in had been unfairly conducted, and they were right. In retrospect, it's clear that 2020 was a grave betrayal of American democracy, given the facts that have facts.
Facts.
I'm surprised he didn't throw up some air quotes on that one. Given the facts that have emerged since the election, no honest person can deny it.
And when did he say that?
Yeah, that was on Tuesday night.
This past Tuesday.
A couple of days ago. Yeah. Again, I'm just going to... Tucker Carlson on Donald Trump on January 4th, 2021. I hate him passionately. What he's good at is destroying things. He's the undisputed champion of that. He could easily destroy us if we play it wrong. The day after the violent insurrection. We're all pretending we've got a lot of to show for Trump's 4 years because admitting to what a disaster it's been is too tough to digest. But come on! There really isn't an upside to Trump.
Yeah. Now... And he doesn't say it to the audience.
No! He says it to the other elite intelligentsia within the Fox News universe.
When we have these conversations and we hang out. We hang out socially as well. You tell me things...
No,
that,
we just play like we're friends when we're on the radio, damn it.
Do you tell me things that you absolutely do not believe?
Right. When we're in private, like in text messages or at the bar, that's when I lie.
You know what I mean?
I don't lie ever, but apparently Tucker Carlson does. Here's what you do in a courtroom, right? Both of these things can't be true. So when were you lying, Tucker?
Right.
Right. And like, I haven't even read all of the portions of Carlson's sworn deposition testimony where he's asked repeatedly, do you think that the 2020 election was free and fair? And he's like, yes. Mm-hmm. What he says is, I've not seen any evidence to the contrary.
But he's just asking questions on his show.
Right. Well, that's his shtick, right? This is the... No honest person can deny. You can't possibly think. Good people don't say things like that.
I'm just asking questions, but when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
I'm just asking questions. It's just questions.
I mean, here's some of my other absolute favorite little things that were happening. And by the way... The thing that I hated about the brief and that I...
The Dominion brief.
Right, the Dominion brief.
For summary judgment.
Right, the Dominion brief. And lawyers fall prey to this all the time. It's like you get so sucked into the details. Like they're so good. And what they just should have put together was like the simplest of timelines. Because that's how you know. I've always argued, follow the incentives. Right. And the incentives will who's getting paid and for what. And it will tell you all you need to know about what people's choices were.
Yeah.
Right. And what the timeline would show is that Fox was starting to lose ground leading into the election. And everyone at Fox knew after the election and certainly after Fox called it for Trump.
Made the right call.
Yes.
That they were very upset about.
Right. And by the way, there's an email exchange where one of the hosts, I think it's Lou Dobbs or Bartolomo, is like, you guys need to retract that. That can't be true. Blah, blah, blah. We need to keep hope alive for Donald Trump. And one of the like news desk producers writes back, it's not a matter of hope. It's called math.
Right. The number.
Did you not?
The votes. Right. We counted
it's
the
just,
votes.
It's math.
And he lost.
Yeah. We can't retract that because that's what happened. But. within all of that chaos, right? And then after they start losing eyeballs and ratings and all the polling that they're doing about how their typical consumer, their dyed and true Fox viewer, is feeling about them, and they are losing. They are getting creamed, and they know it. And so you have this problem, right, where the news desk at Fox is like, all of these people are starting to say crazy things. This was not stolen. This election is over. And everyone on Fox's news side knows it. So does everyone on their editorial side. So does Rupert Murdoch, Lachlan Murdoch, and everyone that was in the executive leadership of Fox News at the time. But they knew they couldn't get on the air and say that because it would mean the end of their business model.
But I don't understand that. And even if you're obviously people, if your candidate loses and your main source and backer of that candidate, that's going to be a tough party. You know, I understand that. But I don't know that, you know, if you look at MSNBC, if you call them the MSDNC, if you're going to look at that,
when
Hillary right. Clinton lost, you know,
they called it for Trump.
Did their business? I mean, maybe viewership fell off. People get a little burned out on politics after a presidential election. I mean, but that's, I understand that if part of your audience, but they were
facing their market alternatives in Newsmax and One America News or the OA, whatever that is, right?
Yes.
And those stations were starting to suck major eyeballs. And listen, when you have so convinced yourself that everything that you do is right and this is all for the betterment, right? Rupert Murdoch's not a guy that likes to lose. That's just not a billionaire's mentality. Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, these are not people that are innately wired to accept defeat graciously, right? So it's not the same polemic. And you also forget that Hillary Clinton wasn't going to define the Democratic Party for the rest of time,
right,
or at least the foreseeable future at that moment.
It wasn't a cult.
It absolutely wasn't. And that was a very different landscape that Fox was facing. And so what the meta narrative here, the big picture is, not only is Tucker Carlson a liar, right, that thinks his smart butt can outsmart middle class America. Not only does Laura Ingraham think she's smarter than working class America and Lou Dobbs, right, and Sean Hannity. It's all garbage. But the meta conceit is like, it wasn't just about January 6th. It wasn't just about the big lie about the election. They've been doing this all along. The only reason we got the receipts is because Dominion voting systems decided to sue them. So everybody out there that's like, oh, whatever, that's just about this weird one Trump thing. Do you really think that these people haven't been lying to you all along?
They just started
when
now.
It has suited their economic interests? That's just like, fool me once, maybe, shame on you. But you can't think that if this is okay about the most important thing that's happened in our modern American democratic history, that they would lie about that they wouldn't lie about all of the small stuff if it suits them well?
Absolutely. Tucker Carlson's out there showing like the 41,000 hours
of 5 minutes.
Everyone's just hanging out, walking in. It looks really nice.
No, it's
all good.
Wait, Dom, I've got it. The protesters were angry. They believed that the election they had just voted in had been unfairly conducted, and they were right. In retrospect, it's clear that 2020 was a grave betrayal of American democracy. Yeah, because of you.
And he said that when?
Tuesday. This Tuesday.
Still doing it.
Yes.
Still doing it. Still doubling down. Still engaging in the
yes.
lie. Still gaslighting their audience. Still disrespecting. In some ways, and I'm not a big defender of the Fox News viewers, but you have been very much harmed by what these people
yes,
have told you. And you stand up there. And all you Fox News viewers, you listen to folks like us talk. And you question us. But listen, your source is admitted in court they lied to you that it was not stolen, that they were more concerned about what? Not the red, not the blue. What was, oh.
The ratings.
The green, baby.
Yeah.
It was all about the green.
I mean, let's remind ourselves, here's Rupert Murdoch in his deposition taken on January 19th, right? Month and a half ago. Was Joe Biden legitimately elected as president of the United States? Answer, yes. And you've known that since Fox called the election for Biden on November 7th, 2020. Yes, the election was not stolen. Do you believe President Trump was a sore loser? Yes. How did you vote? I voted by mail. So you understand there's nothing fraudulent about voting by mail. Yeah, I'm sure of it. When did you realize it was, in your words, a bunch of conspiracy nonsense? Well, when AG Barr made a statement on December 1st, 2020. So you've always doubted any claim of massive election fraud. Oh, yes. We thought everything was on the up and up.
God, would have saved this country a whole lot of heartache if you just had your folks come on the radio at the time and just, you know, relayed that, shared that. But no, they were concerned about the money. They were concerned about their favorability ratings going from, what, 70 down to 30-something. Folks, last segment of the day coming up. We're going to take your calls, I promise. Be patient. Stick around. Maggie Dawn. Look forward to it. 844-967-2789.
Boy, it's like they're so ideological that they subvert their own interest.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. God, time flies when you're having fun. We promise. We'll get to the calls in a moment. 844-967-2789. I know there are a couple of things we wanted to throw out there quick, Maggie. Yeah. Which one do you want to go with first?
So if you didn't believe me when I was like, yeah, everybody at Fox News, and they were trying to hush up the people that wanted to tell the truth, there's this little ditty that came out in the last 2 weeks. Fox host Sandra Smith on air, and this is November 11th, after the election had been called for Biden. A guest on Fox starts prattling on about, like, it might not have actually been won by Biden. And the Fox anchor sort of is like, what? What is she talking about on a hot mic? I mean, it's priceless.
Let's hear the actual. I think this is very important. This goes to the point that, you know, some folks were like, as soon as they heard this, were like, what? Let's play it if you would, Evan. This is the Fox Calls It cut. Cut one.
Whoever is decided to be the president, remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president, doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Like, Trace, we've
results.
Called it.
And I think we have to look into every one of these concerns.
Yeah. And I think that's a very good point there, Steve. You know,
all right, that's fine. Trace, we called it. She's, what? What's happening? Yeah, what's happening? What is this crazy person saying on the show right now? What's happening?
And that was supposed to be on one of the, quote, hard news shows for Fox. And listen, the whole Fox conceit has always been like there's the news side and opinion side. Well, let's not forget that since all of this has gone down and a little bit beforehand, Fox has absolutely cleared these people out. That anchor, Sandra Smith, got reprimanded within Fox. And she got less airtime. This is when Chris Wallace is leaving, Shepard Smith, and a slew of actual news editors and production folks at Fox. They do not tell you the truth, and anybody who wants to tell the truth on Fox, well, your ass is fired.
844-967-2789. I only know how to tell the truth. Angie, you are up from Monroe. Welcome, Angie. What do you got for us?
Okay, I have a question. With Tucker Carlson, isn't he doing the same thing, kind of like what Alex Jones did with the Sandy Hook, where he's saying lies? Can't the Capitol Police do like a class action to the ones that got hurt and to Tucker Carlson, especially for this last video that he made?
I think it's a really good question, and I don't think we've seen the end of creative lawyering. I think the Alex Jones lawsuit was so clearly emotionally traumatic, right, and harmful to private citizens, right? The difference here is you're dealing with a lot of folks that are knowingly and willingly in the public, and they're elected officials, so there's some amount of give or take that can happen there. In other words, higher standard to show harm. But one of the arguments that I'm waiting for a defense lawyer to make about one of the folks who's being prosecuted for their violent acts on January 6th is that I'm so stupid and mentally deranged and Tucker made me do it. Right? That actually fully tries to place the blame for this. Hey, these people were news people. I thought news people were supposed to tell me the truth. They told me they put these people on their airwaves. The president said the same thing. What do you mean I'm in the wrong? Because why would I be in the wrong if what they just said is true? Think about that, right? If what Donald Trump was saying was true, and if what Tucker Carlson just suggested on Tuesday was actually true, if millions of votes had been illegally turned here on planet Earth and an election stolen from a president, I could maybe understand people taking some extreme action. But the whole problem was that but for those actors, but for Laura Ingraham, but for Tucker Carlson, but for Rupert Murdoch, but for Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and Jim Troupas and Robert Spendel and Ron Johnson and Dan Kelly, these average Americans wouldn't have been there. So the media elites, the legal elites, the richest of the richest 1%, yes, they did conspire to take down middle America. And they did so to create January 6th. That is what these documents show. And they did so to keep themselves wealthy and in power and to keep you, middle class America, buying the lie. They should all be sued. And every criminal defendant that is facing charges on January 6th should take a plea, but be sure that in that plea agreement, they lay the blame solidly where it belongs. It's a disgusting, disgusting engagement that has occurred, and the gaslighting that continues should be criminal.
844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County, you are next. Welcome, Rico. What do you got for us?
Hey. You did a great job this week, Don. I knew you
thanks,
would.
Thanks, man. Hey, you
I
know what? It's easier when you got good friends to show up and hang out with me, man, but thank you.
Yeah, and then you save the best for last and just knock it right out of the park with Maggie Dunn on Fridays. I knew that was going to happen. Hey, if you just, oh my gosh, that story about Michael Cohen that you broke there, that's big. I could just feel Donnie taking it to the knees on that one. Holy cow. Yep. You know, word on the street is, this Michael Cohen guy, he's not no real big fan of yours, Donnie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wrote a book about that, Rico.
Yeah, and went to prison.
Went to prison for it, yes. Thanks for the call, Rico. It's been an interesting journey, Maggie Dawn, and to finally have at least one of these things slowly looking like it's going to break is going to make next week even that much more entertaining. And I hate to use that word because if we don't laugh, we cry. You know what I'm saying? At least I don't. I gotta like take it in stride. And we talk about these things, the overthrowing of the will of the people. This is the most basic of rights and needs of a democracy.
Yep.
And if we're going to allow these media companies and we're going to allow these politicians, because don't kid yourself. I mean, there are politicians that are very much involved in this that sit on committees right now.
Yeah, one of them, Senator Ron Johnson.
One of them is Senator Ron Johnson.
Yep.
Lock him
up.
These things need to be investigated, need to be addressed, because I'm pretty sure if it was any of us, like it was Michael Cohen in his one particular case, we would be facing consequences for our actions. That's all I'm asking for, Maggie Dawn. You know, equal justice.
Under the law.
Under the law.
Yeah, that is not what happens in the United States of America, and it's never been what's happened under the United States of America. It's the ideal of the United States of America. And these prosecutions of Donald Trump, whatever you think of the man or the party politics, we have to try to get better at that one thing, to hold the rich and powerful just as accountable as little me and you. If we can't agree on that, like, what can we?
We can agree that you are awesome, Maggie Dawn. Thank you for coming and hanging out with me this Friday. Thank you to our fair audience. Thanks for joining me. Next week, I got Earl coming in on Monday morning. He's going to be the co-devil. And Jane Mantenier, Kristen Bry coming on Tuesday. Crudy's back on Wednesday. Maybe. We'll see. Thanks for listening.